When you're not following the Lord, your money is not prioritized for God. It's prioritized for me. Not me, but you, right? It's prioritized for me, myself, and I. The reality is, when God gets a hold of your heart, you want to give to Him because you know He gave to you. And we saw it was the first fruits. It's the best.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we continue our study of Nehemiah, and again, we have a list of names.
Yes, Dave, we do. And certainly I'm going to hack up some of them when I read them. But yet we're going to see that these names are very important. And underneath, we're also going to see an extremely important and life-changing spiritual principle. So let's get right to our passage. Turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 11.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
And they're saying, hey, we're going to obey, and we're not going to extract every debt. We're not going to be creditors to our people against God's word. This all has to do with money and trust in the Lord, where we can disobey God by fretting, worrying, seeking after. And I read many scriptures about this, that Old Testament, we're not to even set our heart on it. Soon it goes away. We're to cease our consideration of it, right? New Testament, we know that the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and those wanting to get rich fall into all kinds of temptation and many a pang. You know, we need to be content with what we have and trust the Lord. And I read those passages about you can't serve God and mammon. You're either going to love one and hate the other. And so they're saying, wow, we have blown it. We're not going to do these things in relationship to money and work anymore. And that's the evidence of fruit of repentance. And then we saw the third fruit of repentance, that third fruit, which had to do with neglecting the provision for the operation of the temple and the house of God, neglecting the helping of the Levites for theirs, neglecting serving, neglecting the tithes, neglecting God's house. We saw that. If you look at the end of chapter 10, verse 39, thus we will not neglect the house of our God. Now you can read verses 32, 39 your own time. We went through that. Took a long time. It was a long sermon. By the way, the last sermon of Nehemiah was the longest sermon. It was long. We went through that. And you can see that it had to do with the regulations in the Old Testament of providing and even voluntarily, willing. And they decided to willingly provide. They were going to provide. They were going to provide for those Levites who get their provision for the work of the Lord through the people. There were tithes. There were the things that were related to the temple operation. And we saw that we should be providing for those who teach the word. We should be providing. Paul talked about those who preach, get their living from the word. We saw in Galatians chapter 6, anyone who teaches, share all good things with him who teaches you. We see that those who rule well and work hard at preaching and teaching are worthy of a double honor. You should not muzzle the ox while he's threshing. So there is a provision by Christ. And guess what? When you're not following the Lord, your money is not prioritized for God. It's prioritized for me. Not me, but you, right? It's prioritized for me, myself, and I. The reality is, when God gets a hold of your heart, you want to give to Him because you know He gave to you. And we saw it was the first fruits. It's the best. And so if your heart is not to give on a consistent basis to the work of the Lord for His work and His people, then I would posit to you that there's something in the way that you got to get your heart right with the Lord and give freely and graciously to the right to Him so that His work would be done. So they say, therefore, we're no longer going to neglect the house of the Lord. And that neglecting, you can read through that, had to do with tithes and provision for it and even serving in it. So we have these three things that show that their hearts are responding. We're not going to have bad relationships with non-believers. We're not going to trust in our finances and sin against you. And we're going to provide for the work of the ministry. We're going to do so. And those are areas that really will show you, hey, have I really repented? Now, you may not be an outright blatant sin like Israel was, but you may have been dulled. and you're starting to experience some of these things where your heart isn't there, you need to go and look through the Word and see, where has my heart strayed from a desire to give unto my Lord back from what He's given me, to give of the first fruits, to provide for His church, to trust Him in the work that I'm doing, to not be frantically seeking to make ends meet. No, you got to be a good steward, but you trust the Lord. You rely on Him. He's not going to send you down the wrong path. Now, we need to acknowledge, hey, if I've been a bad steward and all my debt is because I messed up, now maybe that's why I'm where I'm at. I need to admit that and then trust the Lord and do what is right. So they're doing what is right. It is the fruit of repentance. And then today we come to, long review here, the ultimate fruit of their repentance, which was really what God was working on from the beginning, which was to get them a heart that they would come inhabit Jerusalem, that they would move from where they are to serve the Lord and inhabit Jerusalem. The walls are built up, the doors are fixed, but as we'll see, the city had few houses and few inhabitants. But they had to get their hearts right before the Lord, before they were ready to be moved by God to where He wanted them to be. Now we look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, but the rest of the people cast lots to bring out 1 of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while 9/10 remained in the other cities, and the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. Now, it's very important to remember that chapter 11 relates back to chapter 7, and that everything in between is important. That chapter 11 relates back to chapter 7. Turn back to chapter 7, verse 4. Indeed, in chapter 7, verse 4, Nehemiah has appointed leadership in Jerusalem. He's appointed what he needs to appoint. The walls, chapter 6, had been done in 52 days. The city is ready. And you would think at that point we would have chapter 11, people moving into Jerusalem. But we don't. We have all the sin being dealt with, as we see there. So notice here, chapter 7, verse 4. Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few and houses were not built. There you go. This is the holy city, which we'll see. It is the Lord's city, the city that God had placed His name on and identified with as the city of the Lord. It was His city. It was the holy city, as we will see. And yet it was in shambles, but now the walls are built up, but there's nobody there. The holy city, and there's no houses, there's no one there. What kind of holy city is that? It's a holy city. It's missing people, right? But we see here that it was large and spacious, but in it were few, and houses were not built. And so notice what happens, Nehemiah 7, verse 5. Then my God put into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the people to be enrolled by genealogies. He then goes to figure out who is who by the genealogies. And as we're going to see, that's important in chapter 11 because it's going to be inhabited by certain people that need to come to be in Jerusalem for the operation of the temple, the Lord's city. So you would think at this point, okay, then we have chapter 11. But as I mentioned, the reality is the people were not ready to inhabit Jerusalem. They were not ready, as we will see, to volunteer willingly to pick up everything and move to serve the Lord. They weren't ready in their hearts. They had sin that needed to be dealt with. And we've reviewed that already. We've seen that their sin was dealt with, that they desired to hear the word of God, chapter 8, right after this. They called for Ezra to share the word. They had the Levites teach them. They started to respond and obey. They were convicted. They were mourning. Then they obeyed the Lord and celebrated the Feast of Booths. And then they even wanted more so to hear the word. And then they were taught the word of God. And then they started to acknowledge, wow, we blew it here. We blew it here. We blew it here. We blew it here. We blew it, blew it, blew it, blew it. We've sinned. Lord, this is why we are in this spot. Please have compassion on us. Please help us in the midst of this. We recognize it's all our fault. And when you get to that point, you're repenting. That's wonderful. You get to that humility, that humble point. And so God had to work through chapters 8 through 10 to work on these Jews to build their spiritual walls up because they were all torn down. And God needs to work on us. It's through the Word of God convicting the heart of those who are receptive and willing to respond that he works. And so all that has happened, and now we have this chapter 11 where they're ready and they cast lots and they volunteer to go. That's what's happening. That's the flow of Nehemiah here at this point. Chapters 1 through 6, the rebuilding of the physical walls in light of the satanic opposition through men. Chapters 8 through 10, the rebuilding of the spiritual walls of these people. Chapter 11, that fruit, as we see, the end of 10 and 11, the fruit of repentance. And so with that in mind, what I want to do now is I want to walk through chapter 11, past verses 1 and 2, all these names and all this stuff, and then come back to the point, which is verses 1 and 2. So I want to teach the whole chapter, but I want to teach the rest, the bulk of the rest of it, and then come back. We're going to see verses 3 and on are really saying who came and lived there, who didn't, which people came, and give some interesting aspects concerning that, and then we will come back and finish up our message in verses 1 and 2. So then, notice after verses 1 and 2, now chapter 11, verse 3 now. Now these are the heads of the provinces who lived in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah, each lived in his own property in their cities. The Israelites, the priests, the Levites, the temple servants, the descendants of Solomon's servants, and some of the sons of Judah and some of the sons of Benjamin lived in Jerusalem. I believe verse 3 here and part of verse 4 is a summary. And then he's going to go and give specifics. And he's going to name specific people. And he's going to say at times, and this helps you to figure out, it's 10 guys he's talking about or 3 guys that he's relating in a long way. You'll see he'll say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. Well, that's only one person. But it's identifying the genealogy of that person. You could say Greg, the son of Vern, the son of Fred. But it's talking about Greg. But it's identifying which Greg. And so that helps to show that we have just a couple people that are being enumerated, and then we have a total number saying, hey, there's this guy and this guy, and they were this and this, and then 800 so came. You see what I'm saying? So that's what's going to go on here. So if you look at the middle of verse 4, now first of all, we're going to have who came from the sons of Judah. Judah was a tribe of the southern kingdom. Benjamin was a tribe of the southern kingdom. We're going to see who came from there. There were the 10 northern tribes, and these are the 2 southern tribes. So you can say, here's who came to inhabit. Okay, these are the ones who came to inhabit Jerusalem. These are the ones who, as we'll see, volunteered willingly. And there's a list. Who came? It says here, from the sons of Judah, Athaiah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amariah, the son of Shephaniah, the son of Mahalalel, of the sons of Perez. Now, that's just one guy, but we're identifying who he is. All the way back to the sons of Perez. Perez was Judah by Tamar, right? And we have that Perez in that line is the line of Christ, Matthew chapter 1, right? You know, so it's talking about verse 5. And Maaseiah, the son of Baruch, the son of Kol-Hazeh, the son of Hazai, the son of Adiah, the son of Jorib, the son of Zechariah, the son of Shilonite, all the sons of Perez who lived in Jerusalem were 488 able men. So it gave 2 basic guys that were renowned in a sense. God wants to say, these guys, I want you to know their names. And these are the specifics. And they're in the line of Judah, very clearly in the line of Judah, right? Remember, God had prompted Nehemiah back chapter 7 to order them by the genealogies. It's very important. And here we see it actually flushing out as they come to Jerusalem. So you have 468 willing, as we'll see, volunteers. And some noteworthy ones such as Athaiah and Maaseiah. They were drawn by lot to go to Jerusalem. They were willing to do so. And it says here, interesting, able men. Able men, interesting, means valiant or strong. These were 468 willing volunteers, valiant from the tribe of Judah, willing to move and serve the Lord in Jerusalem. That's the first list. Then we had the people of Benjamin, verse 7. Now these are the sons of Benjamin. Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Joed, the son of Pedadiah, the son of Koaliah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ithiel, the son of Yeshiah. That's one guy, but he's identified by the line, right? And after him, Gabai and Salai, and 928. That's how many of the sons of Benjamin came, right? And Joel, the son of Zachary, was their overseer. He's the leader of that 928. One guy, look over 920 people there. And Judah, the son of Hasanua, was the second in command of the city. So this is the list of the Benjamites that came, okay? The Benjamites. 928 of them, which includes some noteworthy names and a description of the overseer and the second in command of the city. Then notice next, the priests who live in Jerusalem. Verse 10. From the priests, Jedidiah, the son of Joiarib, Jachin, Sarai, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Marioth, the son of Ahitub, the leader of the house of God, and their kinsmen who performed the work of the temple, 822. 822 priests to serve in the temple. You got lay people, you got priests, right? You got the priests coming here, right? And then we have a list of some more priests, middle of 12. And Adadiah, the son of Jeroam, the son of Pelaliah, the son of Amzi, the son of Zechariah, the son of Pashur, the son of Amijah, and his kinsmen, the heads of their father's households, 242, there's the number. And Amashai, and the son of Azarel, the son of Asai, the son of Mashilamoth, the son of Immer, and their brothers, valiant warriors, 128. These are warrior priests, okay? Valiant warriors. And their overseer was Zabedel, the son of Hagadolim. There's one overseer for all those people there. That's one guy watching over, right? So you got the priests. Then you have the Levites. Look at verse 15. Now from the Levites, these are those who came, volunteered, drawn by lot. We'll talk about that in a minute, but volunteered willingly and moved to Jerusalem, okay? Now from the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azrakam, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Bunny, there's an easy one there, and Shabbathai and Jozabed from the leaders of the Levites who were in charge of the outside work of the house of God. There's the ones doing the outside work, working on the outside of the temple. And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asap, who was the leader in the beginning, the thanksgiving at prayer. I just want to hear, a son of Asap. Ultimately, this guy is related to Asap, one of the priests, one of the Levites, and he's leading the thanksgiving and the prayer. Okay? This is the worship of God. These are people involved in serving the Lord in his worship. Okay? And it says here, the second among brethren, and Abda, the son of Shammu, the son of Galai, the son of Jeduthun, all the Levites in the holy city were 284. The Levites helped with singing, they helped with worship and the operation of the temple. We saw earlier in chapter 8, they also taught the word of God. We saw that chapter 8, and all of them chosen by lot, but volunteered 284. Then verse 19, and also the gatekeepers, Akub, Talman, and their brethren who kept watch at the gates were 172. You got two noteworthy guys who are gatekeepers, and the whole group, 172. They're ones who are watching over the gates. And then notice he describes the rest of the priests, Levites, and temple servants, verse 20. And the rest of Israel, of the priests and the Levites, were in all the cities of Judah, each in his own inheritance, saying, hey, the rest of these people that didn't go to Jerusalem, they went to their places. The rest were in their inheritance. You got those who chose to leave their inheritance and come to Jerusalem to minister. The rest were in their inheritance, okay? But the temple servants were living in Ophi, and Zihah and Gispah were in charge of the temple servants. Okay, more information, more people, okay? Okay, so we have the rest of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and those were at their own inheritance. The temple servants were in Ophel, I think it is, and we have a statement concerning those in charge. And then notice we have a description of the singers and the king's representative. Now, by the way, when you are going and saying, hey, we're in Nehemiah, what are we going to study next week? And you see all these names, you see all this stuff, you go, I need to pray for Greg, right? When I'm preparing, I need to understand, what is the intent, Lord? What do you intend? Why do you write all this? Why do we need to know? Okay, so pray for me. The singers. Now, verse 22, the overseer of the Levites in Jerusalem was Uzi, the son of Bani, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micah, from the sons of Asap. Ah, those were the ones who were leading worship, right? Leading singing, right? Who were singers for the service of the house of God. We got these guys. They're the singers. They're dedicated singers for the house of God. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? This is worship. Worship of the Lord. Dedicated singers from the sons of Asap. And then notice we have an interesting statement. Very interesting. Nehemiah puts this in here. For there was a commandment from the king concerning them. That's the singers. And a firm regulation for the song leaders day by day. Very interesting. The firm regulation thing throws me off a little bit, but I think the New King James does a better job translating it. It literally speaks of support, financial support. That's really what it was. But it was said in a way that there was a firm regulation that they're supported. You know, that's why they translated it that way. So here, the commandment from the king, Artaxerxes, who's a good guy, who let Nehemiah go, right? He's a good guy, Artaxerxes. There, he had a regulation that the singers get money for their singing and that they are supported and that they do their singing day by day, that they do their work and they are supported with it. Praise the Lord. Remember, he allowed them to go to come back and to rebuild the walls, right? And he has a heart that God was using to allow them to do the work that they needed to do. And then we have this verse 24. And Pethaniah, the son of Meshezabel, of the sons of Zerah, the son of Judah, was the king's representative in all matters concerning the people. He was the king's guy. And evidently, probably a good guy, because he's making sure the singers are getting paid, making sure they're singing unto the Lord, right? Doing the work they're called to do. And then notice, to the end of the chapter here, we have statements concerning the rest of the people, okay? Verse 25. Now, as for the villages with their fields, some of the sons of Judah lived in Kiriath Arba and in its towns, saying, hey, where did the rest of them live? Not in Jerusalem, but here's where they lived, okay? In Dibon and its towns, and in Jacob-Bezarel and its villages, and in Jeshua and Moladah, in Beth-Pelet, and in Hazar-Shual, in Beersheba and its towns, in Ziklag, in Mekonah and its towns, and in Em-Rimmon, and Zora, and Zarmuth, and Zenoa, and Adullam, and their villages, Lachish, and its fields, Azekah, and its towns. So they encamped from Beersheba as far as the Valley of Hinnom. The sons of Benjamin also lived from Geba onward at Mishmash, and Ajah, at Bethel, and its towns, at Anoth, Nob, Ananiah, Hazor, Ramah, Gittim, Hadid, Zebul, Nebat, Lod, Ono, and the Valley of the Craftsmen. And from the Levites, some divisions in Judah belonged to Benjamin. So saying, basically, they who didn't go to Jerusalem were living where they're supposed to live, in the land, in their inheritances, as we saw earlier. They were living in these towns, and even some of the Levites, some of the divisions, Judah belonged to Benjamin. So we got a list of over 3,000 people who came to move to Jerusalem, city that was not inhabited with few houses.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Okay, Greg, so we have a list of over 3,000. Yet, remind us what is so important about these people in relationship to Jerusalem.
Well, Dave, we've seen over 3,000 people, all who came to move and live in Jerusalem, a city that was not inhabited and had only a few houses. And these people had different skills, talents, and abilities, jobs, and they were volunteering to be chosen to come to Jerusalem to live there and serve the Lord. So what's so important about this concerning Jerusalem? Well, as we're going to see, it's God through Nehemiah revealing that his people, after they've repented and have been rebuilt spiritually, that he is faithful to bring about the habitation of his holy city. That's the point. The people are ready to be led, and they go. Well, let me ask you this. Are you ready to go or stay wherever the Lord wants you to serve him? I say, based on what we see in this book of Nehemiah, if not, then you're in dire need of your spiritual walls to be rebuilt. And if this is the case, I would encourage you to go back to these lessons from Scripture from chapters 8 through 10, and it will change your life if you're willing.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from equipping the saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.